And welcome to this edition of the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football. I changed it up there, Mike. Did you like that?
Yeah, he kind of took me for, you know, whatever.
Well, Mike, what? Week one is in the books, or soon to be in the books. I count it in the books because the rookies reported last Wednesday, so it's past that time. But a week has gone by, four practices have gone by. A lot of stuff went on in the first four practices of this year, and we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the upcoming schedule, the upcoming week. Who looks good? Who looks bad as we talk Detroit Lions 2023? Or as Dan Campbell says, the hype train is out of control.
You know what? It's better than the other way around, though. It sure is. And you know what, Kenny? There's a reason for that. We can get into it later. But in my opinion, there's a reason it's different this year.
Well, talk about it now. I don't want to wait. You got me on pins and now. Why is it different
to you
this
year? Look, what's different this year is that Detroit Lions came out of last season winning games. You go back to even to 2014. What happened in the last game? They had a showdown game, with the Green Bay Packers for first place in the NFC North. They lost, and they lost the next game in the playoffs against Dallas. I go back to the last two times they made the playoffs under Jim Caldwell, or the two winning seasons, I should say. They finished the season on a losing note. First, in 2016, they lost at home to the Packers again, didn't make the division, and then got beat in the first round of the playoffs. And then the next year they had a winning record at 9-7. Didn't win. It's the same thing. So this team is different because it closed the game on the upswing, closed the season on the upswing.
So do you think that one game made that much of a difference to coming in this year? Because if they were 8-9 and lost that last game to Green Bay, do you think that there'd be less of a, great – for sure they wouldn't be getting the opening night game if they had finished 8-9 and lost to Green Bay?
I think a combination of things, Kenny. Number one, they beat the Green Bay Packers. They beat them on Monday night football or Sunday night football. Right. And they beat them on the road. And they beat them, period. They beat them. They closed it out. They were a winning team that the line was nobody wants to play in the playoffs. Well, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were as close as you could get without making it. I just think that I think there's a difference with that team. And I think it has something to do with winning and the way they won. In other words, they didn't have – remember that one year where they were 9-4 and they couldn't win because Stafford broke his finger?
Right.
Well, this is different this year. It really is.
Well
– this is a team that's developing before your eyes.
And what last year meant to me, and I think the most important thing to come out of it was two things. One, you're one of the youngest teams in the league and you had a winning record. And number two, you don't have to look and wonder – can Dan Campbell win games? The first year you had to wonder that. They went 0-9. They were losing.
Yes.
You had to wonder, can this guy win games? He talks a good game. And he's saying the right things, but we're not winning. That goes away when you win. And when they were 1-6, the questions are out there. Can this guy win a game? There was a lot of questions on the coaching, his coaching, and what he was doing. But once you start winning games, you put that question away. And I think that's the biggest thing going in this year to me is you're not questioning if the coach – can win. Now your question is, how do we get the win?
Right. I think you're right. And I think that I talked to Alex Anzalone for something I wrote for DetroitLions.com coming up later this week. And he said the biggest lesson he learned from last year is that you cannot start slow in the National Football League. You've got to win games. You can't lose. Every game matters. Now, when you said it's a lesson he learned, like he knew that for the
beginning. I was about to say, I hope that's a lesson he knew from before yesterday.
Well, of course. All right. Well, he played on winning teams.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I hope everybody knows that lesson is like the kindergarten lesson that you can't start bad, can't dig yourself too deep of a hole.
Well, there's a big difference between a bad start and going 0-8 and 1-6. Okay, but every game matters, and they got to come at it right out of the gate. This year, if they want to do anything, and I think they will, and I think they got a good chance to anyway.
Would you rather Michael Harris, the schedule maker for the Lions?
Yep.
Would you rather them play two easy teams the first two games, or the way they have it now, where these are two tough games?
I like it the way it is now. I mean, you got to play them anyway, and you probably have a better if you're worried about how you match up against putting the season at Kansas City against the Chiefs on Thursday night or coming back and playing your next game was at home against Seattle. I like it the way it is because you're first of all with Kansas City, they're probably not going to be road because you've got the show to put on. You know, as the defending Super Bowl champs, but you know, teams aren't always at their peak at the start of the season. That could be the case for the Chiefs. I mean, I don't know. We'll know that in 6 weeks. You know, when it's done after it happens, but I just think it's fine the way it is.
Yeah, except for I always like a cupcake at home for the first home games. You know, that's what I've always liked. I remember one series of years they played like the Falcons every first game at home.
Right.
And then, you know, those were good. And remember a few years ago, the Arizona was always the first game for a while. Remember they played the tie game and it was another one. So, but, okay, like I said, you got to play them eventually anyway, so you might as well stack them up. But I just don't want to get too far behind. If you go 0-2, I don't want to see the panic set in. You lost to two good teams. So you got to,
Well, losing begets losing. It really does. And you've got to prove that you're different this year. I think you really do. Now, I think they've got the assets and the players to do it, but they've got to do it.
Yeah. Well, first week is by. Before we get to things that we saw, and I was out there on Tuesday or Wednesday. I was out there one of the day. I can't remember which day it was. You've been out there every day. Some off-the-field things have happened. Teddy Bridgewater came in for a visit, and by the time this airs, I don't know if they have signed him or not, but he came in for a visit. Didn't leave with a contract, which I don't know if it's unusual or not, or maybe that was the purpose of him coming in. But usually when they come in, they pretty much sign. So I'm wondering – what are the odds you think they will sign them, and do they need them?
Well, I say 50-50. You know, and Dan Campbell, the head coach, spoke very highly of Teddy Bridgewater. Look, he's known in the league as one of the good guys, leadership, all of that stuff. He's got a winning record as a starting quarterback of the National Football League. And I think it's like 37, 35, something like that. But it's not, he's not winning everything. And also, he was 5-0. As a starting quarterback, as a backup for New Orleans when, he played for Dan Campbell was on that staff. So Campbell has a good feeling for him because he saw him do it before his own eyes. He really did. But I think it's 50-50 if they're going to sign him. I'll tell you one thing. This is not just PR smoke. Nate Sudfeld has really been an impressive guy in training camp. He really has. Now, where that takes him, and he knows it because it's his eighth year in the National Football League. He's ready for whatever comes next, but he has really, really played well. I mean, really.
Yeah, but that's too much of a – to me, that's too much of a gamble. Even if he plays well the whole preseason and you think that he might be able to do it, you got to go with a proven this year. I just – he doesn't have the track record, but you got to get somebody proven to be the backup. That's my like I said, you know how I feel about backup quarterback. But it's just too – and you're going to carry three quarterbacks anyway. You know, the way they have their mercy quarterback now.
Right. They could keep Sudfeld. He doesn't have a big contract, that's for sure. But they could keep him. But he's got a good background. And Teddy Bridgewater, we're not talking about the greatest thing that's been coming out of National Football League. We're talking about a guy who really is a backup now. That's what he is.
But he's got a winning record as a starter.
That's what I said.
He's got a winning record as a starter. That's all you want, somebody to come in and be able to win games like Sean Hill did that one when they had a – backup. You just need somebody that you're confident can win a game for you lead you to a win if it comes to that.
No, I don't disagree with that, but I'm not getting overly excited about Teddy Bridgewater, but look, I like him. I really do. I like the player and I like everything I've heard about him. And if they sign him, good, fine. But I also like what I've seen with my own two eyes and Nate Sudfeld. And I'm not the only one who said that, so we'll see.
Well, he'll get it. Like I said, he'll get a shot. But, hey, it's not a bad problem to have if you got three good quarterbacks or three quarterbacks you think it would have
gotten
for
you. Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
Panic of the week, and I don't know where you are when this happened. I wasn't at that practice when Gardner Johnson went down, and everybody thought it was season ending. The car comes out, captains are dapping him up. He's going, emotional and whatever. And then the next day, he's walking on the field gingerly, but he's walking on the field, and they avoided a major injury. Did you see the original injury, and what did you think?
Well, I was there, and, you know, and Tim Twentyman, you know, writing for DetroitLions.com, I think was probably the first one to saw it, to see it. And scary, you know, it gave me thoughts going back to people like Laquell LeSure, first practice, I think, 2012, you know, a running back the Lions thought very, very highly of, hurt his knee out for the year.
Yep.
He was the first player. You were there.
Popped his Achilles. I was standing right there when it happened. Me and Tom Kowalski were standing right there when it happened.
Yeah, I think it was what the first play.
First, it was
play,
the first
like
of the padded practices, I think. And he went up and Cliff Averill chipped him, which he didn't have to. I still to this day I say Cliff Averill didn't have to chip him that day. He chipped him and that Achilles tore. They took him off, and he had a decent year after that, but he was never the back that everybody thought he was going to be.
No, yeah, I think he rushed for 700 or 800 yards.
Yeah, he had like 8 touchdowns or something one year, but he just never.
He had 3 touchdowns against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
And Jim Schwartz had said in the locker room after, if he'd have ran the right play, he would have had 8. Yep. He would have had 4.
So
nice. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. So anyway, he, you know, it didn't happen. But I'm glad Gardner Johnson's out there because, to me, attitude-wise, he is going to be the tone of that defense, I think. And I'd rather have him on the field, even though Brian Branch is going to be a contributor, too. And they're going to kind of try to switch those two off, I'm looking at, from what I've seen so far. And even though Branch, he got hurt a little bit in the last practice I went to, and I hope it's not serious. I don't think it is. But anyway, those two are going to be switching off a lot. They have a lot of moving chess pieces now in that D backfield.
Oh, Cam Sutton, don't forget him either. You know, he's a good ball player. So, you know, they've done well there. They really have.
Well, the only thing missing is if Mobley can come back and get, you know, up to speed by season start. He didn't start with the team. That was a surprise to everybody. He hasn't reported to the team yet. I think they said by Friday or Saturday he'll report to the team. I didn't know if he meant he'll report ready to play or just be here, but he's not even around now. That's kind of a setback to me because I think they expected him to come in and compete for that job.
Who I didn't hear who you said. Who did you say?
Mosley, the cornerback, Mosley.
Oh, yeah. Emmanuel Mosley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe there's just taking his injury a little more time to heal. I really don't know. That's just something I thought of and don't have anything to base it on, but just wonder. You know, I'm not saying that something's going to linger forever. Just kind of wonder if you might need a little more help, a little more time to heal.
Yeah. Well, those guys on one-year deals, though, you know, they know it. They gotta play to get their next deal, and they want to be out there. So, like Gardner Johnson, you know, it's a one-year deal, and he's playing for his future, and Mosley's playing for his future. So you got to get out there and, you know, be ready to go. And he had a torn ACL, I believe, in September of last year. Wasn't it the second game or whatever, or the third game?
Yeah, and playing for San Francisco. He'd been a starter that year. Really had moved up, you know, was doing good things, playing on a good defense, too.
Yeah.
You know, that says something about him.
Now, things that I have seen this week that I like, things that I don't like. Things that I like, and you can chime in with me on this. Things that I like, I think the defense is going to be much stronger this year than last year.
I would agree with you, and I think, you know, you've got now 2 layers of draft picks who are now major contributors for that team. And you look at what's coming back from last year. And one other thing, like Alex Anzalone, I was asking him about development of players. He said the biggest development, in my opinion, and a lot of other people have said this, is between year one and year two. Well, you look at 3 guys that they drafted last year, Aiden Hutchinson, 9.5 sacks, 3 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries. You look at Steve Houston, played 7 games, had 8 sacks. And then a third-round pick, was it?
Kirby Joseph.
Kirby Joseph from Iowa with 4 picks and really, really showed a lot of moxie playing in the deep secondary there as a safety. So those guys are paying off already, and I think they showed an awful lot as rookies, and I think you'll see more from them in their second year. And Josh Pichel too from the second round.
Don't forget James Houston too. I mean, if you adding people in, James Houston also. You know?
That was my second guy.
Oh, did you say second? Okay, I heard you say Hutchinson. Yeah, but all those draft picks from last year, you know, they got time in and played. And
yeah, they did.
Yeah, they all got. And like you said, this should be their big year to, you know, expand their games. I think Hutchinson's going to have a big year if he stays healthy. I just was watching him work. He's a worker. More athletic than people let on. I guarantee you if Jacksonville goes back to that number one pick, they pick Hutchinson instead of Walker. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't disagree with you. And one thing he said in his media presser, that was the first day or the second day of camp, but he said he doesn't really believe that you need to have an awful lot of moves. He said if you have two or three that work, stick with those. I agree with him. I really do. I think you can have. I think you can get too creative and have. And try to do too much and just get in your own way. Well, he certainly didn't get in his own way last year.
No.
I think he can just sort of.
Once he slowed down, once the game slowed down for him, because he was overrunning things the first couple of games. I remember the Philly game, he overran a play that they would have stopped. The Washington, he overran play. But as he got more acclimated, like you said, to the game, he uses aggressiveness, and you could tell how he douses up and down. And that's what you need. And that's just learning by playing.
Yeah, he had a play in the last was it Wednesday or Tuesday, I forget which, it was one or the other. He was lined up left, and in that two-point stance, and didn't have his hand on the ground. Took one step and then shot to his right down the line and disrupted the offensive play. And he just did it so quickly and so easily. You can just see the future developing below your eyes there, before your eyes.
Now, more things that I liked. Jahmyr Gibbs, man, I'm just going to say it. I like it. I'm not even going to say anything about it. You have to see with your own eyes. But he is everything that we had hoped Swift would be. You know, catching the ball at the backfield, running. He's everything Swift be at a faster pace. Everything we hoped Swift would be. But he's a better receiver than Swift will ever be.
One thing about Gibbs, though, it's just not dump offs out of the backfield. It's actually lining up and running routes.
Right, that's what I said. He's a better receiver.
I think, exactly. I think he gives you more options than Swift did. Now he's got to stay healthy, and that's something Swift had trouble with, from the second year on here. And we'll see how Gibbs handles that.
Well, you got Montgomery, who nobody's talking about now because the pads aren't on yet. So he's going to do the bulk of the running work. But you're just going to get the ball into Gibbs' hands. I mean, that if you got both of them on the field at the same time, you're going to – this offense, they finished fifth last year. Unless injuries happen, I don't see them doing any worse. I just see them continuing to get better.
Well, one thing that's going to be hard for anybody to get 17 rushing touchdowns like Jamal Williams did. But I just think – I think they've really got production, not just those two runners, but depth behind it at running back. I really do. I think they're basically bringing back the five guys they had last year, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
They're
good ball players. And they're guys who can contribute in many ways, too.
Yeah, I'm not poo-pooing 17 touchdowns rushing, but a lot of those, like I said, were one and some yard touchdowns. But this year, the person that got them down there would score those instead of waiting, getting them to the one and then the running back running them in. I just think that they're going to be more explosive offensively, like Sam Laporta. Hopefully – and I'm going to repeat, hopefully, Jameson Williams, and the guys will be scoring some of those touchdowns instead of having to run them in from the one and the two and the three.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I'll tell you, Sam Laporte, I didn't know much about him. I mean, he played at Iowa and all that, and kind of read his bio and his background and all that, doing prep work for the start of the draft and all that. But that is a good ball player there.
Yeah.
I don't know how he is as a blocker because, he is not something we've seen.
Well, that's important, though.
It's important, exactly. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm a big T.J. Hockenson fan, but Laporta has fellow Iowa guy. He has certainly more skill to catch the ball and go with it than T.J. did. I mean, T.J. did catch it and fall down, I thought, a little bit too much. I didn't see any of that in Laporta.
No, definitely. If you want to put it like this, this is the simplest way you can put it. Laporta is a better wide receiver than T.J. Hockenson.
Right.
And if you know what I mean by that, I'm not saying he's not a tight end. I'm just saying he moves like a receiver. T.J. Hockenson moved like he moved like a tight end, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
And you say when you catch the ball, Laporta's get you yards after the catch. Hockenson was on the way down. And Hockenson was a very disappointing blocker to me, and the way he was projected coming into the league as a real good blocker, I just never saw it. So Laporta doesn't have much to catch up to him in that, in that extent. But I hope he's a when they put the pads on this weekend, that you'll see at least he can hold his own as a blocker.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. That would, yeah, exactly. I think that would certainly be in it a year ago.
Now, things I was disappointed in, and you can tell me what you were disappointed in. Jameson Williams got hurt a little. I looked like a little muscle pull or whatever, nothing serious. But when he comes back, I want to see something from him the rest of this
camp. Who are you talking about?
Jameson Williams. You know,
I'm with you on that.
I want to see something. I see a lot of, you know, it's been all the articles and a lot of talk, but I want to see some production. You know, like I said, it's early, so I'm not going to panic about it. But, you know, it's just you got to start producing and start you being a grown up now and get out there with these are grown men doing grown men jobs. Let's get out there and start putting the work in. And I'm not saying he's not, but it's just nothing yet for me.
No, we haven't. I haven't. I thought he in the mini camp, but you know, closed out the off season program. I thought he looked really strong there in the last couple of days. He made a lot of plays and you know good plays, but I haven't seen that much. Haven't seen that much in training camp yet. But you know he missed a couple of days. He had some sort of what they call a minor injury.
But golf throws the guys he likes too. As you can see, he likes Laporta. He likes Amar St. Brown. Those are his favorite targets, and he's got to get in the mix. And yeah, he's got to get in the mix, and you know, get some confidence from his quarterback if he wants to get the ball. Except for you know, when Johnson dials up specialty plays, that you have to get the ball to Jameson. You know, but other than that, you want the guy to think he can rely on you, and you got to get that you know that chemistry going. And I haven't seen it yet, so that's one thing. The rest of this camp, I want to see.
Well, another thing I want to see is what Denzel.
Denzel Mims
contributes. I know when Mims told us when we interviewed him on Tuesday, I think it was, he said that the first person to call him was Jared Goff. They were on the phone for 20 or 30 minutes talking about you know things he needed to do, talking about the offense, about the game plan, the playbook, and all that. That's a good sign. It really is. I mean, welcome to Detroit. Now here's how you get to work.
Yeah, I always reserve these reclamation projects till they actually happen. So I'm just gonna keep that on the even keel because, like I said, he looks like a ball player. He's got all the you know physical skills, but until I see it on the field during games, I can't know if he makes the team or not. I don't know, but I just got to see it. I'm not even gonna expect anything out of him. If you get something out of him, it's extra. And I just, you know, hope for the best and hope you can get something out of a former second-round pick.
Well, it's a freebie, basically. You know, just
yeah, it's a freebie. Right, it's a freebie. But I'm not going to, you know, bet the lunch money on him, you know.
That no,
he
I would
gets
agree
to another
that.
Town and all of a sudden the light comes on. It happens at times, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't. I remember a couple of guys over the years we thought we were Buster Johnson. Remember Buster, what was his name, the linebacker that was the third-round pick that we got. Everybody, and Marinelli brought him in. Oh, he just needed a change of scenery. He wasn't any better here than he was in Arizona.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I remember what Marinelli told him. He says, you're here for a reason.
Right.
you're a third-round pick. You're here for a reason.
That got cut in his first camp.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he's right.
Yep.
That's right. Yep. So, it's a reason. The kicker, well, I don't talk. I refuse. If I start talking kickers, you might as well cut the podcast off. But anyway, we know who our kicker is going to be probably now since the Honey Badger, Michael Bagley, Badger was cut.
Badgley?
Come on. So he was cut. So Riley Patterson's going to be the kicker. I mean, we can
probably.
Probably going to be the kicker. So that's done.
He's accurate. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's all you want. If you can be accurate and can kick a 50-yarder, if you can kick it from 50 in and accurate, then, you know, you can live with that. I mean, every now and then you might have to boot a 55-yarder, but missing 30-yarders, that ain't going to make it. And that's the one that kills me. That's not going to make it. Anything else you saw this week that was got your eyes up in a glow?
Well, I think one thing is that they've got their offensive line, you know, their presumptive five starters are healthy and they're on the field together. The first time in 3 years. I mean, all these guys have been hurt. They couldn't start camp together. They couldn't finish camp together. Didn't play a single snap together last year. Not one. Not one snap together at any time. Preseason, anything. And so I think that's a good sign. It's a good offensive line, and it's a much better offensive line when they're all healthy and all together.
Yeah. And we got to make it to the season now. Cross your fingers on that. We're at this
point. Well, they've got, I think, 7 or 8 players on that offensive line who are starting quality players in the National Football League. I really believe that.
Yeah.
That's the starting five and then two or three backups, I think.
Well, you had a guy last year that started a lot of games. He's not even – they didn't even bring him back for training camp, Dan Skipper. You know, they didn't even bring him back. So you know they improved the depth. Stenberg was in the rotation
Logan
last
Stenberg,
year. He's buried in there now. I remember I barely saw him in the practices this week. You know, he's not even in the first two teams. So, you know, the depth is rising, and you gotta get him to play.
Look, they got Graham Glasgow. You know, they got him in signed him as a free agent after a couple of years in Denver. Returned to Detroit. He's a really, really popular with his teammates on the offensive line, and a good player too. He was more than just a popular guy. He was a good player.
Yeah, and that'll help out between them two. I know they're both fighting for that right guard spot between him and Big V, and they've been alternating. But we'll see how that works out. All right, Mikey O. Anything else?
Well, I think one thing we look forward to is that starting this weekend, the practices will be open to fans. Not exactly sure how they, you know, which fans and all that, but it adds an element to practice to have the fans out there. They're pretty energetic, and you know, as long as they have good weather, and it's I think it's a good thing. I really do.
That's good. So they'll practice 4 days starting Friday, 4 days in a row again before a day off. Then they practice two. I'm looking at the schedule here. 2 days, and then to be determined on the fourth. And then the week after that, the eighth, is when the joint practices with the New York Giants come, and that's going to be exciting because that's when you really get your training camp in. They're going to have two times joint practice. They're going to have the Giants the week of the 8th, and the week of the 16th, they're going to practice with the Jaguars, so both at Allen Park. So that's when you'll see what's going on.
No, I agree with you. It's fun. Look, these guys have been banging against each other. Some of them for 6 or 7 years, you know.
Exactly.
Enough is enough.
Exactly.
Come on. Lighten up.
All right. Well, we'll be here to cover it as it happens. So, Michael Herr from DetroitLions.com. Check him out. Check out his stuff. Oh, tonight is also, tonight, if it's Thursday, you're listening to this, the Inside the Den that everybody's been waiting for comes out tonight at 8 o'clock. So,
wait a minute. When you say everybody, you mean Ken Brown has been waiting?
No, everybody
for
who likes that stuff and been asking about it. You know, I know you're not into that, but a lot of people are. And the behind the scenes stuff, and those were great videos they had last year. And that's one.
Those guys do. They do a great job on everything in that video site department. They really do. That is really good work.
Well, it's coming out today, so as Thursday as we're talking. So if you're out there, take a look at it and tell us what you're thinking next week when we come back. We're going to have a couple of guests the next couple of weeks coming on. We're going to get a – matter of fact, we're going to have a baseball football guest coming on. Our buddy Dan Dickerson is going to join us either next week or the week after. And Dan's a big football guy, too. We're going to even talk a little baseball for a half a minute with him. But then we're going to talk some football with Danny, and that's going to be exciting. And we'll have a couple other special guests to liven things up for these camp editions until we get to the regular season.
Well, will a trade deadline be passed when Danny comes on?
It should be right around that time, by the time we do the next one, So we might get him right before the deadline, if after, and we'll talk about what happened, because things might happen. So,
right.
Yep. Are you out there? Thanks for listening.